1067, a broadcast service of Auburn Network Incorporated. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into The Drive on a beautiful, I mean, it is a gorgeous Wednesday afternoon as we come to you from the Wow Business Studio, where you can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to Wow. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com. So welcome in. It is hour number one of the Wednesday Drive. A beautiful day in our neighborhood. Bill and Dan, I mean, all kinds of things going on. You doing all right, man?
I'm doing great.
Doing better now?
I feel great.
Okay, I do too, man. I love this. Love this weather. This is absolutely gorgeous. Hour number one of The Drive brought to you, as usual, by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and who also sponsor our hotline, which gets you through from anywhere, 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline.
And, of course, we're in the Wow Business Studio. You can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to Wow. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com. Did you already do that?
Yeah, I did, but that's fine.
All right, good.
We probably should do it a couple of times.
Okay, well, you know, we're...
I don't know that they expect it twice in 2 minutes.
Wow has been very good to us, so that makes sense.
That reminds me of, yes, that's Garrett Morris.
Very, very.
Baseball been very, very good.
Yeah, Wow has been very, very good to us. So,
Speaking of baseball, some interesting baseball news, a change in the Auburn schedule.
How about this?
The Tigers were to have hosted Xavier in a four-game set this weekend. It was going to be a single game Friday, doubleheader Saturday, and then a single game Sunday. Well, Xavier has had some COVID problems. And so Auburn got with Boston College, 18th-ranked Boston College, by the way, who opened up ACC play last week. Can you believe that conference play already going on? They opened up by taking 2 out of 3 from Duke last week at Durham, and they were to have headed back into North Carolina to Wake Forest this weekend. But the Demon Deacons having some COVID problems with baseball. So BC was looking for a team to play this weekend. Auburn and Boston College in a top 25 matchup this weekend now at Plainsman Park.
Yeah, it's really exciting and sort of unusual circumstances leading to it. But a high-quality opponent coming to Plainsman Park this weekend for a three-game series. The Xavier series was going to be four?
They were going to play a doubleheader on Saturday. They were going to play a 9 and then a 7. So with Boston College, just going to be a three-game series, but still, that's great.
Weather should cooperate this weekend?
It looks great for this weekend. I don't believe there's a chance of rain until next week.
I'm sure the fellas from Chestnut Hill will appreciate the weather down here this weekend. Don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like in Boston
probably
at the moment.
Probably a little cooler. But I mean, who knows in this in the crazy weather that we see.
It could be hotter than 64
could.
Right now.
It could. But that's going on. And Butch Thompson met with the media about 45 minutes ago, and I was able to listen. Couldn't access it because I was driving. Couldn't join in because it's hard to enter the chat when you're driving and it's on your dash. But Butch Thompson said he is more excited about this team after this past weekend than he was going in. I know there could be some raised eyebrows about that, but he said, understanding the situation, losing Cody Greenhill in the fifth inning of a game that they were leading, not having Jack Owen, feeling like, you know, two of his top, if not their top two pitchers, unable to go. And then the way Trace Bright just went in and battled against Texas A&M, he says he feels better than ever about this team. Now, Greenhill, now you got some injury situations. Now, this doesn't sound like anything serious, but Cody Greenhill putting weight on his foot, and he's been throwing lightly. But he said Cody will not start this weekend. They're hoping that if everything goes well, he can give them 20 or 30 pitches on Sunday. So they're moving Richard Fitz up to Friday. Mason Barnett will start Saturday. Then Trace Bright will get the start on Sunday. The other good news, though, Jack Owen is throwing. Oh, would you like that? I thought about it as I was saying it. I decided to drop the G on throwing. I drop my G's way too often anyway. My mother used to always fuss at me about that. But Jack Owen is throwing. And by early next week, they hope to have him back getting ready to be back on the mound.
He's like Ryman Simon.
That's right.
You got throwing Owen.
Owen.
There goes throwing Owen on the mound for the Tigers. No, you know what? It wasn't all good news from this past weekend. But seeing Trace Bright pitch like that, I think has to be incredibly reassuring to Coach Thompson and everyone because you're going to need all hands on deck in conference play, and knowing you've got someone like Trace Bright capable of doing that against a talented SEC team, you know, has to be reassuring. Even if maybe it wasn't all. Maybe all the answers you got this weekend about the team weren't great. You know, all three performances weren't necessarily sterling, but Trace Bright on Sunday, you know, really, I think helped wipe away some of the what you saw on Friday and Saturday.
Well, yes,
some of the struggles.
I think Butch Thompson feels very good about what he has when he has all hands on deck. Josh Hall didn't play this weekend. He said he was a little surprised at that, but Josh hopefully will be good to go on Friday. Probably was going to play yesterday had that game not been rained out against Jacksonville State. Let's see, what's the other injury question? Judd Ward banged up, but he'll be good to go this weekend. But I think that's it for the guys that have been banged up a little bit. Now, a couple of the other bright spots that he had, Tyler Miller. Really liked the way, I mean, he is on a tear right now. And, you know, he's a young man that came in as a shortstop out of junior college, and he's now working at first base. And Butch was talking about what a great play he made on a 3-6-1 double play. He said that most college coaches would have been very satisfied with making the play, make the pick, go step on the bag, get the out. Yet he made that play so smoothly that it was just a it was almost hard to imagine. Wish we could have seen that. Well, I guess if I'd subscribed to Flow Baseball, I could have. But I didn't. But anyway, he liked that. And the other thing that Butch said is the defense definitely made the road trip. He was very pleased with the way Auburn played defensively. So, I mean, he said if you'd asked him right after the game Sunday, he would have said, well, he wasn't thrilled with the way the weekend went. But he said after a couple of days, he's very pleased with what they got as far as seeing what they have and understanding where they are, because he said that's quality competition, and now very excited about playing SEC-type competition again this weekend.
And run prevention is going to be crucial in conference play, because there are going to be nights where the other team has a better pitcher. There are going to be nights when the other team has a more potent lineup, and you're going to need your defense to be as good as possible, you know, in those situations to keep those kind of games close. You're not going to have the margin of error where you can make mistakes defensively. So, yeah, the fact that, I mean, I'm not surprised to hear Butch Thompson preaching the importance of defense on this year's team.
He's a pitcher, too.
And he's really somebody who understands that.
He's
a
pitching guy.
He appreciates run prevention. So, right. That's something I think will be a focal point of the team all year long as we await the start of the Boston College series this weekend.
Yep, 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, respectively, as we're just about done with basketball. We are
in Auburn.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. We here locally are about done with participating.
I suspect
with
we will
local
still
teams participating.
We'll still talk some basketball.
Oh, we'll still talk some, and we'll have Sonny Smith on, looking for his expertise as we get ready to, you know, put our brackets together.
We need to find a plan for between Selection Sunday and the first game if we could try to get Sonny on at some point.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I mean, the Friday would be great too with that in that week. But
yeah, but
I'd
Monday.
Love, yeah, I'd love to
have him on like Monday.
I'd love to see. Yeah, I'd love to see him react to. By the way, the bracket is going to be revealed leading up to the Grammy Awards.
I realized that
on CBS is that March 14th is going to have. So big night for CBS, right? They're going to have.
Yeah, I would think so.
They're going to have the bracket reveal, and then I guess I imagine the Grammy Awards are going to start, you know, right afterwards, or the pre-show is going to start right afterwards. So it's another big event as we get closer to Selection Sunday and the unveiling of the bracket for the big one.
Speaking of basketball, rough night for the Tigers last night in T-Town, and not a huge shock. I had said Auburn struggled shooting the ball up there. And the Tigers, Auburn has struggled to shoot the ball down the stretch, period. And it was another tough night offensively. The toughest part was what I was the most concerned about going into the game, and that was turnovers. Alabama did not follow Tennessee's lead of not pressuring the ball. That's really what's happened to Auburn down the stretch, Dan, is starting with Arkansas, teams really applied pressure out front, you know, to the ball. And Auburn, since then, has been averaging close to 20 turnovers a game. They only had 12 against Tennessee, but 15 first-half turnovers. And at one point, midway through the second half, the turnovers were 18 for Auburn, 2 for Alabama, and that was the difference in the game.
And I'm not sure how much of that is necessarily strategy by the other team, because I think Auburn's run into some teams that try to pressure everyone they play.
Right.
Arkansas and Florida and Alabama are teams that, I mean, they put a ton of pressure on the ball on every possession, and the thought that could, you could run into teams like that with an injured injured point guard or with your reserve point guard in the game. I mean, that's going to only make things worse and exacerbate the issue. I mean, I wonder if Tennessee is almost the anomaly, right? That they chose not to do it.
Yeah, they really are.
And because we've seen it wasn't as fruitless last night as it was against Florida, but there were a lot more turnovers last night, you know, as opposed to missed shots in the Florida game. And you know, it's still, you had the sense when the lead started to grow a little bit, right? You had the sense that this thing,
well,
I mean, Auburn was not, it's like a team that runs the ball. They're not built to play catch up.
No, once they got a good bit behind, John Petty's three, you know, Auburn cut it to five. They had two or three opportunities to cut it under seven. They finally cut it to five, and Petty hits a three.
Sparks Auburn, a 10-0 run, right?
Auburn turns it over, yes, and they go on a 10-0 run, and it's 15, and the game was
over. And it was a 10-0 run quickly.
Like, yes, it was.
I mean, and that's something that, I mean, with it's not, look, the Auburn element of last night is important, and you know, it's tough to evaluate the team with some of the pieces missing, but, you know, there's good and bad. Alabama, you know, we're going to be seeing them play after the regular season is over. I would imagine.
Right now, I'm seeing them as the top two seed.
I mean, do they go? Would you call them the favorite in the SEC tournament going in? I mean,
I would call Arkansas.
Arkansas is. I mean, they're among the favorites, if not
Alabama,
the favorite.
Alabama still got to get some things solved offensively. But
that's strange because for a team that plays at the tempo Alabama plays, a team with so many possessions a game. You don't necessarily think of offense as the problem for teams like that. But with Alabama, they play incredibly fast, and they really pressure you defensively. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the possessions can come up empty, and they can go long stretches without scoring, especially if the three ball isn't falling down. And that's a dangerous thing. I mean, I know Auburn went to a Final Four reliant on the three ball a couple of years ago.
Well, three and D.
But that's
it's 3 and D,
yes.
and that's where the similarities are. Alabama, though, the last few ball games has scored a lot more baskets on drives by their guards than they have the abundance of threes. They didn't make 10 last night, but it took 35 shots for them to make 10 last night. So So yes, and I had
They broke the record earlier this year, right?
Made
threes in a
yeah,
in an SEC 20, game.
They hit 23, I believe.
Was that LSU?
When they buried
LSU last month.
But I was going to say, and we'll get to this in a little while. Had an interesting conversation while I was a guest on Wimp Sanderson's show. He said some things that I didn't really think of or notice, but I'll trust his eyes as a coach and his son as a former coach, and they both agreed on something that I had thought. I thought Auburn played pretty well defensively last night. Wimp Sanderson said to me that may be the worst on-ball defense by guards he's ever seen a Bruce Pearl team play.
Wow.
He said they gave up the drive so easily last night. He goes, Quinterly, Shackelford should not have ever been able to drive the way they did last night. And he said that was, to him, the most disappointing thing about the ball game from Auburn's perspective. And I went, you know, I was looking at other things. I was looking at the turnovers and the Auburn inability to score sometimes.
And I guess I thought that Alabama's guards do that a lot. Like, that's the other thing. It didn't strike me as though Auburn was...
Me either, but he said they can't do it that consistently or haven't been able to do it that consistently with both guards against everybody until last night.
And I wonder if, you know, if the minutes that Flanagan and to a lesser extent Johnson have been asked to play this year...
Jamal's played more minutes the last few games
I wonder if that, because that's... You know, when fatigue sets in, the first thing that you're going to notice, the first
legs,
and the first thing you see on a basketball court is perimeter defense.
Defense and your shots come up short.
Yeah, your shots come
hopefully
up.
Your shorts don't come up short.
Yeah, your shorts come up shot, and your shots come up short.
Yeah.
No, it's
be careful.
That's right. I'm glad I nailed that one. I had not noticed particularly poor perimeter defense from...
And he said it wasn't... It's as though Auburn was so concerned about the three that any time somebody got the ball and flinched, the Auburn guards overplayed and they were able to get right by them.
Sure.
And you think about that. When you think about that, yes. How many times did somebody for Alabama be able to get right around their defender?
Right. It's almost... You know, there was a lot of trust in rim protection and less belief that, you know, if you
don't, it's like, don't let Alabama shoot those threes. But as I was watching last night, it did seem that a few times Auburn was very concerned about Herb Jones shooting a three. Let him shoot the three.
Back off him.
Really? All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Greg, hold on. You'll be up first when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
Chandler here with the University Ace Hardware.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. And Greg's up first. Hey, Greg, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, guys, no problem. You touched on something a minute ago I was going to get into about watching that ball game. Ever since I played ball since a little kid and coached kids coming up and everything else, I've always tried to tell these guys and preach it to them, we practice it and everything else, that use the baseline for sixth man. And as far as he's talking about the guard play and defense-wise, I watched it happen last night, and just plum irritated me. I watched, he's number 35.
Cambridge, Devin Cambridge.
Excuse me, it just escaped me. I was trying to think of Caldwell, too. But Cambridge had a guy let him get right by him. I mean, instead of forcing to the baseline, he lets him get right by him, get in there for an easy 2 points.
Yep.
A couple times. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and dog off on these guys. I mean, look, they're 11-13, same mistake. They've had a hard year, have ups and downs, have lost some close games. They had a chance there. I mean, like I said, when you had Sharif going, I mean, how many games you have in the road there that you lost? You lost 5 points or less.
Yeah, you had five games that you lost by a total of 15 points.
I mean, I, you, take
four of
five
them by
games.
Two. Yeah.
Just give me three of them. You know, I mean, I was just hoping for, you know, 500, you know, season at least with these guys. But, you know, you see the talent, you see the possibilities, you know, of what this team could be. And you can't help but look back and think, well, you know, you didn't necessarily think Okoro was going to be a one and done. You know, you didn't think Akiki was going to be one and done. I mean, it's some things you wasn't expecting, which is a pleasant surprise. But, yeah, I mean, and we all sitting here kind of looking at, why aren't we, you know, going to serve a postseason ban when, you know, what the NCAA done us with Sharif and everything else. I feel like we've taken shots in all directions this year, and this team held it together the best they could and played the best they could, considering. But they just didn't have no momentum coming down the stretch. Toward the end of the year, you know, you're building momentum and you're really coming together. You really want to be coming together about this time, you know, in the end of the season. And that just wasn't there. I mean, like I said, we was in 5 points. And then you had, let's say, Petty hits a three, and you go back down on the offensive end, get an offensive foul against Caldwell, which put us there, was already in the bonus, go down there and hit two shots. That's 5 points. Next thing you know, you're down by 10 points. Mm-hmm. In less than a minute.
Yep.
Okay, and then next thing you got 15, and it's just, you know, it's unexpired, and then you have 23-plus turnovers. It's a little things. These guys, you can tell they're playing hard, but they're not laying it all
well, it's,
out there.
It's such a struggle offensively, possession to possession, without Sharif, and I understand they were able to score. I think the announcer last night said, you know, this is an Auburn team that should still be scoring 80, 85 points a game even without Sharif Cooper in the lineup. I couldn't disagree more strongly with that analysis of this team.
And Alabama is not a bad defensive team either. They're a very good defensive team.
No, to the commentary of...
They ought to be scoring more than 58.
No, they should, but when what Greg is saying about when that lead started to grow, I mean, Auburn doesn't score where you're gonna make a... You know, you're going to cut into a 12 or 15 point deficit in a substantial way. And looking back, you know, I really think that week with Georgia and Ole Miss was a pivotal week for this team this year, because that was, you know, coming off the Baylor game, you had Sharif, you had a couple of home games against teams that looked like they were near the bottom of the SEC, and you had real tough games later in the month. And you really started out February with a couple of, you know, deflating home losses that, I mean, it really started the trail off that we've seen throughout this month, which was made worse when Sharif got hurt.
Hey, what can you expect, guys? Hey, my hat's off to BP and that coaching staff holding together. The guys, you know, they took the lumps. I hope we can build on this. I'm betting on Sharif coming back. I'm hoping he is anyway. And, you know, proving his game, and then got some guys coming in, get a little bit more quality depth, and we'll see where this team can go. I mean, there's a fine line between being great and average, and anybody that's ever played, that's coached, that's been around the sports long enough can tell you that it's little things that's going to win it for you. But I'm gonna leave it alone. I'm proud of them regardless, more equal to them. But I was gonna ask you this, and I'm gonna get off, guys. I'm hearing we probably got maybe room for two or three more guys on the football team, and when I get off, I like to hear, you know, kind of where y'all think we're going. I know offensive line's probably one, but also I kind of like the way Harsh is doing some things here, create some competition within the position groups, and I just really like the kind of the way he's doing some things, the process he's trying to create, and so far I think it's been a good hire, just from a mentality standpoint. Get y'all's opinion on it, guys, and I appreciate y'all having my call. Great day.
Appreciate the call, Greg. Yeah, some really good points there. Yeah, three spots is what we've been able to determine that Auburn has available. And I think you'd put in at the top of the list offensive tackle. Next, I would think running back. We don't know that for sure. And then after that, it may just be if there's not a player who could, if there's not somebody out there who couldn't come in and help you immediately somewhere, there's no rush to fill that other spot, because that would give you an extra spot for the upcoming class. Auburn's already going to have one, because Grant Calcaterra's spot can't be filled until this coming year. So they already have one that can count back. I would think they wouldn't mind having another.
Yeah, I think a lot of the tactics employed by Brian Harsin so far as Auburn head coach, You know, this is, to say nothing of the of recent Auburn head coaches, but it does seem like when you bring in someone with a lot of head coaching experience to be your coach, you know, he's going to bring in tried and true measures, you know, to win the team over quickly. And that's not to say it was a problem with Malzahn or with Chizik or with Tuberville of getting the team to buy in early. But Brian Harsin has clearly brought over not just people from Boise, but philosophies
right.
from Boise State that worked. And he's hoping that they can work as well here as they did for him there. But that is, I mean, how long was he? What, he's got 7-8 years experience as a head coach?
Seven years. Remember, 69 wins in 7 years.
Which is, to be fair, considerably more as a college head coach than Malzahn had when he came to Auburn.
Right.
Chizik had when he came to Auburn. Tommy was at Ole Miss four years, I think, before he got the Auburn job. I mean, so it's different, and you know that's one of the things when you bring in someone with head coaching experience, you know, he's got tricks up his sleeve that can help make the changeover as easy as possible.
He has he has parameters, guidelines, he has a plan that has worked.
He's got a system.
Right. That is exactly right. When we come back. All right, first of all, let me let you know, it's Wednesday. Normally, Jason Caldwell is with us.
We should mention that.
No, Jason's usually with us, but it's his anniversary today.
Happy anniversary.
So happy anniversary, Jason. Hopefully, he'll be able to join us some tomorrow. But when we come back, the Auburn women trying to extend their season and perhaps Coach Flo's career with an unbelievable comeback right now. We'll update you on that and more. Love for you to join in as we continue here on the Wednesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Second half hour of the show. Bill and Dan here in the Wow Business Studio. Before we get back to the phone, let's update you on the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament. As we said, it has been, well, let's face it, it has been a terrible year for Auburn women's basketball. Hadn't been a great year for Auburn basketball, period. High school, good year, but sadly came to an end yesterday. But I know a lot of basketball fans are going, at least mercifully, the season may be over pretty soon. It looked like the season was definitely over midway through the third quarter in the first SEC tournament game between the 12 and 13 seeds. Florida, what were they, 3-11? Auburn was 0-15 in conference play. The first time Auburn has ever gone winless in the in women's basketball in the SEC. And Florida took a one-point lead into the locker room at halftime. And when we looked up, they were ahead by 18, 52-34. Auburn then went on a 23-2 run to take a 57-54 lead.
And since
But since I teased that comeback as we were going to the bottom of the hour break, Florida has hit three straight threes, and it's a 9-0 run. And the Gators lead Auburn 63-57. With 4 minutes to go in regulation, and they get a layup, it's now an 8-point. That is an 11-0 run in about a minute and a half. This has been the most unbelievable game of runs I've ever seen.
It was 57-54 Auburn when we went to commercial, and we were all ready to tell you about Auburn being back in this game. And by the time Bill got done telling you about it,
Florida had run off 11 straight points.
Florida had gone on an 11-0 run. Yeah. So the Gators Gators up 8 with about 4 minutes to go in the game.
It's the under 4 timeout right now.
Where are they for the women's tournament? Do you know offhand? Is it South Carolina?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, I wasn't sure exactly where they do the where they do the SEC women's tournament, but
and so if this score holds, Auburn will finish the season 5-19, 0-16, and we talked about it. You know, can Coach Flo continue?
I just don't know.
No,
and look, I'm not Well, yeah, we're not trying to.
I don't believe in calling for coaches' jobs.
It's clearly not working, and I hate to say that while they're playing a game in the SEC tournament. But if you're asking me about the direction of the program right now, I mean, she's in year nine, and the last 2 years have been the two worst teams in program history. Like I don't think. I don't want ill will towards anybody, and I don't blame any individual player, but it's probably time for a change.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Let's get to the phone, and Shadow is up next. Hey, Shadow.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm actually glad to hear somebody say it's time for a change. But I guess my first question is, does Auburn treat their coaches about like other teams when it comes time to make a change? Or does Auburn hold them close and nurse their wounds and try to build up their self-image and help them through a tough time? Because that's what we do down here at Auburn. I mean, it kind of reminds me of our softball team that I haven't. I mean, is it really we're gonna keep somebody in the 9th and 10th year? And the last two have been the worst in history. Could it be a possibility only at Auburn? Could this happen?
Oh, no. No, it's definitely not only at Auburn. There are different circumstances that play into it, though, Shadow. When you go through a change in athletic directors, generally it's going to take a little longer sometimes to do things. And remember, I said this yesterday, one of the first things Alan Green did when he came to Auburn is Coach Flo and the Tigers had a really good year. And she got an extension, apparently with a pretty nice buyout. I mean, we're hearing that it's in the $1.4 million range right now. So I think that's a factor. But softball. I don't know if you followed softball, but Mickey Dean's recruiting class is ranked number 2 in the country coming in. They're playing really well. I think he's got some of his own players. But no, I think it's not that uncommon to look around at different schools. You may not realize what's going on in all the sports other than football and basketball, basketball. Yeah.
Please tell us all how long the buyout is on this lady.
I believe it's 2 years.
Well, he's a new athletic director, and he don't want to get no enemies at Auburn, so he starts dishing.
Well, think about it though, Shadow. You come in. When you first get there, this program wins 20-plus games, makes the NCAA tournament. So you think, well, things are going in the right direction. You give them a contract extension. The next year they have a really bad year. Well, you don't usually fire somebody the year after they had a really good year. But this is back-to-back an even worse season this year. So,
well, I understand what you're saying. Auburn, I think Auburn has handled the buyout worse than any school in college. Could you prove me wrong?
I have no idea
do you mean as far as like tying their hands to where they can't fire a coach who needs to be fired because they promised them too much money? Is that?
Giving them buyouts that they do not earn.
Well, Will Muschamp got about $13 million.
Right.
Jeremy Pruitt? Well, Tennessee's still trying to avoid paying that, but it's not an uncommon thing. I will say this: Auburn appears to be more reluctant to jump to paying a buyout than some other schools. You still there?
That's pretty much it, Bill. I do think that you may be making an error when you're trying to equal the victories that Harsin has had against Malzahn's victories against much better competition.
Oh, I agree. I mean, we've got to see when he gets out there. I mean, the proof will be in what happens on the field.
There's no guarantee when you hire a new coach. I mean, it's. I think anyone, looking at his win percentage at Boise State and saying this is what he'll be at Auburn is, there's an exchange rate, right? Like when you're switching your money to a different currency, like there's an exchange rate when you go from the Mountain West to the SEC, and we'll see how Brian Harsin handles that adjustment.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Shadow.
Yeah, I think it can feel like this is a uniquely Auburn problem, right? When it's actually something that every big time college athletic department deals with in a sport from time to time.
Alabama had a pretty hefty buyout for Avery Johnson, if I'm not mistaken.
How many different buyouts is Tennessee paying?
Oh, they're paying a few.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
How many coaches is Arkansas paying right now to not coach at Arkansas?
When it's the program that you watch, the school that you watch the most, you probably realize what's going on in some of the other sports more than just football.
And I think we have the benefit of hindsight when you talk about the contracts of, whether it's the contract extension for Flo or even the Malzahn contract after the 2017 season, right? Like you have the benefit of knowing how things played out. I don't know at the time. I was far less angry about the Malzahn contract after the 2017 season than other people. Like, that's something we constantly heard about.
I always wondered that if it hadn't been announced when it was announced, if people would have been so upset. If it hadn't been announced and then you got those results.
Sure.
I mean, if Auburn had beaten Georgia in the SEC championship game and gone to the playoffs, would people have been as upset? I don't think so.
Can't imagine. No, I mean, it just, and it's, I don't know. Like, I thought that not to rehash, should Auburn have given that contract or anything, but it can feel like,
hey, it's money out of the bank.
That's right. It can feel like it's a sunk cost. It can feel like your school, has a particular problem with that when actually it's something of a widespread issue across college sports, signing people to contracts that then limit your availability or limit your ability to make moves after the fact.
Auburn and Florida down to the final 30 seconds, and the Tigers, for some reason, ran about 15 seconds off the clock before they go inside. Florida leading it by 6 with 28.7 seconds to go, 68-62. We'll keep you updated on that as we head back to the phones, and Shane is up next. Hey, Shane.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Pretty good.
A couple of things. I don't really see anything wrong with the softball program at the moment.
No, nor do I.
I think he might have meant women's basketball, right? Like maybe.
Hopefully.
I
don't know.
Because that came out of nowhere, too, and we didn't really – like, I don't know if I've ever heard Shadow talk about softball.
Well, I have.
Oh,
yes?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it – okay.
Is he a fan?
Okay.
He wondered, why Auburn wasn't as good as they were under Clint.
Well, maybe he was talking about softball. Maybe I'm making the mistake.
Well, they got to build back. Whenever you get a new coach in any sport, you got to give them a couple of years to get their players to do their scheme how they want it, and then you can judge. And right now is the judging year, I believe. This year is the judging year, and next year is the judging year because we have the talent. So it's going to be.
It's still going to be an extremely.
Do what they want to do.
Yeah, it's still an extremely young team this year, but I like what we're seeing so far.
I agree, and the SEC, almost every sport is high caliber. So the SEC. Softball, half or more of the teams are ranked high. Mm-hmm. Baseball, same way. Football, same way.
It's full contact in the SEC and every and I think a lot of that too is I think a lot of that is maybe based around the infusion of money from the television contracts, right? I mean, you're seeing now there's more of a priority to not just be you can't just be. Kentucky and be great in basketball and the rest of the sports you can be at the bottom of the conference or some other programs in different where they have a signature sport and then they're not really of a championship caliber in other sports across the department. That's changed now that you're on national television in every sport all the time, and you're getting a lot of money from the ESPN contract to provide a quality product.
He was saying about the buyout. It's because we don't subscribe to Ohio State full athletic department news here in Auburn, Alabama. So we don't know what they buy out all over there. Or at least I don't. I don't really care right. what Wisconsin does. And but we know that what we do is because we hear it on a regular basis because these are our teams. We want to hear the information about our team so we know more about these versus other teams that we don't really, you know,
It can seem uniquely like an Auburn problem when it's not
right.
because that's the right. program.
That's because you're close. Yeah. That's right.
Right. And hey guys, could y'all talk a little bit about? So I just got on not about 20 minutes ago about some baseball coming up.
Sure, absolutely.
Your thoughts on the next few games and the SEC coming up, schedule coming up, and I just want to hear y'all talk about some SEC baseball.
Glad to
Thank
do it,
you guys.
All right, Shane. Before we get to our final break, Auburn falls the final after they had come back. What an unbelievable game of runs it was. Auburn down one at the half, down as many as 18, came back and took a 3-point lead, and fall to Florida 69-62. Unique Thompson, her final college game.
Presumably. Extra year of eligibility.
Oh, that's
for
true.
Seniors,
that's
so
true.
Presumably.
I keep forgetting about
it. I know. It's very weird. It's very having broadcast a senior day
that's true.
In college basketball,
it is
very strange knowing that. You know, these players will all have the option of...
In what could be her final college game.
Certainly.
Falls 69-62 in Auburn after going 0-15 in the SEC in the regular season. Drops at the first round to Florida 69-62 and finishes this season at 5-19. We'll talk some baseball. Big news today. We'll talk about the series this weekend's going to be fun. We'll talk about that and more. Butch Thompson bet with the media. If we get the audio available, we'll let some of that run a little later on as well. And we've got a special guest going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour.
We're going to talk. We're talking
about Coach Harsin.
That's right. We're going to talk with Zach Blackerby,
his chief of staff.
Zach Blackerby's not the chief of staff.
But Zach talked
that's
with
right.
his chief of staff.
We're going to talk with Zach Blackerby, the chief of staff of Auburn Network. We're going to talk to him about a recent the title keeps changing. We're going to talk with Zach Blackerby we've got a commercial break coming up. I don't have 5 minutes to tell you all the things you can hear, all the places you can hear Zach Blackerby, but we're going to talk with Zach at 5 o'clock, and he recently had Brad Lorando on the Locked On Auburn podcast. That's Brian Harsin's
chief of staff
for the Auburn football program. We're going to talk to him about that. Final after the game of the season is this Saturday. We'll talk to Zach about a little bit of basketball, and the NFL draft is coming up too, so we'll work in some questions with Zach Blackerby about that. Do you see the combine news today?
Four
Auburn players invited to the NFL combine among 300 something players overall invited. KJ, Jamien Sherwood, and the two receivers, Schwartz and Williams, the four Auburn players invited to the 2021 NFL Combine.
We'd love for you to join in the Kia of Auburn Hotline, 334-321-1390, as we continue here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday, gorgeous-looking Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan in the Wow Business Studio. And, yeah, we open up talking about baseball, big baseball news. Auburn hosting Boston College. Look at your baseball schedule. You're not going to see that. You're going to see Xavier on the schedule for this weekend.
Card subject to change.
That's right. Butch Thompson was saying it's the first time he's ever had anything like this happen, but that's one of the great things that they can do now is Xavier had some COVID problems. BC was to be at Wake Forest. They had COVID problems. They got together, and Boston College traveling down for a 3-game set this weekend at Plainsman Park.
Somebody called a double switch. Is what it sounds like, right? I mean, you got the different With this is something we've seen in basketball and
right.
even to an extent in football this season where games come together. Wasn't it BYU Coastal?
BYU was like, they take on anybody.
They're barnstorming.
Who's got a game? Who's got a date?
The barnstorming the guys out of Provo. It's a cool game this weekend. I mean, to have this Boston College thing sort of develop out of thin air.
It's a team that's coming in. They're 5-1, I believe, with a game today.
They're looking for any excuse to come south, right? I mean,
I mean, this is RPI time for both teams.
Absolutely, that too. I mean, the fact that they can add a quality opponent and escape the cool northeastern weather, I think, will be something that they appreciate. What are you looking forward to this weekend? Like, who do you think?
Looking for Josh Hall to be back. Yeah. Butch said he should be back. Rankin Woolley's been off to a slow start, but he's playing great defense at third base. I want to continue seeing Tyler Miller continue the hot streak that he's been on. I like seeing Steven Williams behind the plate. I mean, there are a lot of things about this team.
How's that been working, Williams to catcher?
He's really been playing well. Auburn's got a great set. They got three catchers, three guys that can play behind the plate. But Cody Greenhill will not start. They're looking for him. Hopefully to be able to give him 20 or 30 pitches on Sunday. Jack Owen is getting closer, and Coach Thompson said that hopefully early next week they could really set a timetable as to when they would like to have him back, hope to have him back in the rotation, pretty shortly now that he has been throwing for the last few days. So good news on the injury front. Again, Butch was, he was really upbeat. Said that he feels better about this team after seeing Sunday and how they bounced back and sort of shorthanded with some of the injuries to position players as well as pitchers than he had been going into that three-game series.
Judd Ward's really swinging the bat, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He banged into the wall, but he should he should be all right as well. So they're getting better. They're getting healthier. I'm really looking forward to the big matchup against BC this weekend. All right, Zach Blackerby joins us when we come back for hour number two. We'd love for you to join in as well. 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Stick with us for hour number two of the Wednesday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of The Drive here on this Wednesday. Nice looking Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan back here in the WOW Business Studio.
You can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
And this hour of The Drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we also welcome your calls on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. That number, by the way, they're number one, but the phone number is 334-321-1390. We will get back to your calls in a little while, because right now we have a special guest to start hour number two.
That's right. We got time for me to read all his ex credits.
Just got started.
You can hear him. You can hear him on After the Game. That's a weird one to start with, I suppose.
Why don't you start with the morning?
You think I should start with the morning show?
Because
I forgot what it was called. Auburn Opelika this morning
is what it used to be.
That's right. No, it's still Auburn Opelika.
It was today,
You can hear Zach on the Locked On Auburn podcast. You can hear him on After the Game every Saturday here on ESPN 106.7, season finale of After the Game this Saturday following Auburn Mississippi State. Zach Blackerby joins the show.
Don't forget, when you're on hold calling the city of Auburn, you hear him too.
That's right. Zach, you can hear Zach.
I found that a few weeks ago when I was having trouble with my water bill.
When there's an election, he anchors our coverage. I mean, there's any number of ways you can hear.
He's everywhere.
Zach Blackerby joins us. Love having Zach on and a lot going on. So what's up, Zach?
Hey, guys, appreciate you having me. Yeah, you mentioned After the Game first, because we get bonus ATG action because, you know, of course, Saturday's game wasn't originally a weekend game. It was a midweek game. So we get an extra weekend at Tzatziki. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. So one more. I mean, Auburn looking to try to go out on a good note. I mean, wasn't the prettiest last night. Alabama, you know, is your SEC regular season champs, but it's a tough one to swallow being swept by Alabama for the first time in 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Alabama showed that they are the best team in the SEC, and they're probably going to be a 2 seed in the SEC tournament, in the NCAA tournament, regardless of what happens in the SEC tournament. And you know, Auburn did a good job slowing them down. You know, especially when you turn the ball over 23 times and you still only hold them to, you know, 70. That's a win defensively, and they played good defense this past weekend against Tennessee. It's just offensively they really couldn't get anything going. And you know, it's always interesting to look at the shot selection. That's kind of been something that I've kind of looked at over the course of the season. And it's like Jalen, when he's having a really efficient night, he'll only shoot it 6 times. So he's like 5 of 6 from the floor last night. And then I love shifting Jamal over to point guard, but I don't know if I want him shooting double digits, especially when he's as cold as he was last night. But, you know, it had his ups and downs, and that's kind of what we expected going into the season. And a lot of Auburn fans excited about next year, and rightfully so. And I think you see the pieces are there. They just need a few more to kind of put them over the edge. And it looks like those are coming.
Yeah, it's important not to overreact to this weekend's game, but it would be nice, you know, to go into the off season on a positive note. And so few teams get to finish basketball season with a win.
Yeah,
and Auburn will have the chance to do
some
it.
Some of them that do finish with losing records, and that's what Auburn's going to do. That was their chance last night to try to win, and then hope to beat Mississippi State to finish over 500. So they can't, but I mean they can close with a home win, and you know that Bruce Pearl is going to be pitching that as they get ready to head into the offseason.
So tell everyone how they can hear after the game.
Yeah, on ESPN 106.7, we'll go live right after the game, live from Tzatziki's on South College Street. So, yeah, come by and grab some lunch. It's a great place to watch an Auburn basketball game and hang out with Lance Daw and me when he's not busy stealing your phone charger, Dan. And
We'll have
a great time one more time this season.
I was going to say, that's okay because he left me a nice jacket today, I think.
That's right, and if he ever wants it back, you know, he knows the phone call. All right, so Zach, another thing we mentioned from your litany of credits right now is the Locked On Auburn podcast, which is outstanding. Some of the folks you get to come on there with you and the other guy are just a real who's who of Auburn football, and you real feather in the cap lately, right? I mean, Brad Lerondo is a. I mean that's a great guest, and tell folks about your conversation with Coach Harsin's chief of staff.
Yeah, Auburn football chief of staff. I mean that is a heck of a title. That's I know over at the university they come up with some pretty cool ones, but that one's up there. But yeah, he came on today's show and sat down and chatted with me for about 30 minutes or so. We talked a lot about Brian Harsin. Obviously, he knows Harsin probably better than anyone from a professional standpoint. And, I mean, he's a guy that worked his way up through Boise State's athletic department over pretty much 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big part of the ascension, you know, with the Boise State program. And so he got to see a lot of success happen there, and a lot of it came with Coach Harsin. And talks about Coach Harsin the coach and Coach Harsin the, you know, as far as his character and, you know, the person and the family man and how he really fits in well with Auburn. And I kind of made the joke, and it's like, cool, so pretty much the whole coaching staff just picked up and moved over here, so what's that like? And, you know, he gave a lot of really cool answers, a lot of really good information about, I mean, you guys have talked about this before, and it's pretty clear. I mean, Harsin is such a culture guy, and you can tell that Lerondo is as well, and everybody in that football program right now, they're going to focus on culture, and they're going to focus on making guys 1% better every single day. That's something that he said multiple times. Mm-hmm. And culture is just such a big deal for this team. And, you know, a lot of coaches say it, but it really seems like Harsin is putting it to action. So lot of really, really good stuff. Also, he's a big Star Wars guy, so I think that's important to know.
Interesting. Was there anything – because Brian Harsin still, you know, a couple of months into the job, I think aside from – you know, aside from seeing him at press conferences and the occasional feature, you know, from national publications and stuff, you know, I don't know if people really have a sense of what he's like, and getting to talk to somebody like Brad Lorando, I think helps fill in some of the blanks people have on Brian Harsin. Was there anything you came away from the interview having learned about Coach Harsin?
I think he's more intentional than I originally thought. And not that I thought, you know, he was some super unintentional guy, but I think whenever he takes the podium, much like the previous coach, I think you see a different version of them. They're in media mode, they're in press conference mode, and that's not who his players are going to see. And you know, that's not who he is on, you know, recruiting trips and all of that. I think this is a guy that really, really cares about relationships. He really, really cares about his family. And I think he really, really cares about the Auburn family. You know, Auburn loves to pitch that and sell that. And I think that's really, really stood out with this whole Boise State staff essentially picking up and moving over to the east side of the country, is because they all feel that way. And they're all excited about just really, you know, embracing the grind and getting better and really doing whatever it takes. You know, not — I asked Brad what his job actually meant. You know, like, what does a chief of staff do? And it's like, whatever it needs me to do, whether it's, you know, working with the GA or working with the head coach with Harsin, or working with a position coach or an on the field coach, or, you know, an analyst. And it's like, whatever it is, he just wants everyone to get a little bit better every single day. And then over the course of the season, or specifically over you know, spring camp, you can look back at the end of it. It's like, okay, this is what we accomplished. And so very goal-oriented staff, very, this team's going to be motivated. And I think they fully believe in the competition and all that. And Brad talks about all that on today's edition of Locked On Auburn.
Yeah, we were talking about that a while ago, Zach. I mean, there's no doubt that he is extremely focused. He has a plan that has worked and knows how to implement it. And that is the focus every day of doing just what, you know, he knows exactly what he's expecting and what the goal should be every day. And it's worked for him in his first 7 years as a head coach.
Yeah,
Seven.
A lot of that has to do with culture, you know, and we've said that a million times already in these, you know, this 9-minute segment. But I was talking to a parent of a player yesterday. He reached out to me because he wanted to share this information with me. I thought it was pretty cool. But in the past, according to this player, you know, they talked a lot about, okay, they would only work out in their position group. So defensive linemen would work out with defensive linemen,
right.
Corners would work out, kickers, all that good stuff. But now they're all working out together with comparable, you know, to their own strength and to their own athletic abilities. And they love it because they're becoming friends and family and becoming tighter with these people on the team that they wouldn't normally interact with.
Yeah, guys on the other side of the ball, like defensive backs and receivers and offensive and defensive linemen who would only have been working out with guys playing the same positions.
Yeah, so you may see a guard become closer to, you know, a safety or something like that. And that I think stuff like that pays off in the locker room. So, you know, I think it's stuff like that when Harsin talks about culture. I think that's what he means.
Talking with Zach Blackerby from the Locked On Auburn podcast and Auburn Opelika this morning and the after the game basketball edition you can hear right here on ESPN 106.7 about his recent talk with Auburn Chief of Staff Brad Lorando.
Yeah, I just wanted to say before we move on from that, let everybody know how they can hear your interview with Coach Lorando and all the other great guests you've had there on the Locked On Auburn podcast.
Yeah, sure. Just search Locked On Auburn wherever you get your podcast, or Google it; it'll come up. And if you're in the crowd that's still not quite ready to move over to podcasts, 100% understand. I put all the shows up on collegeandmagnolia.com, Auburn's SB Nation site. So I kind of have that option for folks that aren't quite ready, for, you know, to put the podcast app on their phone or are intimidated by it or things like that. So, yeah, just search Locked On Auburn and, you know, one of those ways will come up.
Zach, wanted to ask you a couple of NFL draft questions before we let you go. The news today of the combine invites for – four Auburn players invited to this year's NFL Combine. Receivers, Anthony Schwartz and Seth Williams, along with linebacker K.J. Britt and safety Jamian Sherwood. Briefly, you know, how are you viewing those four prospects going into is it next month's draft? I think April is late April. Is usually when they hold that thing. How do you view the four Auburn players invited to the combine?
You know, I think the most interesting one is Jamie and Sherwood, because you look at what he does well, and like, he plays well close to the line of scrimmage, but NFL teams are going to want him to play, you know, 10 yards, 15 yards off the ball in that safety role, unless he can find a spot as, you know, one of those box safeties. But there's just so many of those. He's starting to get more and more comparisons to Cam Chancellor, you know, the former Seattle Seahawks safety, and obviously, that's high praise. I think he's pretty I think he was pretty impressive in his prime, but he needed pieces around him to kind of flourish. But there's a lot of NFL teams that could kind of build around that. So I think that's a guy that's been kind of picking up some steam. Seth Williams is interesting because, you know, a lot of people saying he's probably going to go around the fourth round, probably like an early day three pick. But I wouldn't be shocked if there's a team that looks at Seth Williams' tape and they're like, well, the scheme didn't really help this guy, and, you know, passing patterns didn't really help this guy, and the fact that he wasn't really able to get open and he still was a pretty effective wide receiver, well, let's take a chance on this guy. I would not be shocked if one of the 32 teams absolutely fell in love with Seth Williams' game and said, okay, I think we can get this guy open a little bit more than what he was able to do in this Gus Malzahn offense. So Seth Williams is super interesting to me. Then the other receiver, I think we all know the sales pitch for that with Anthony Schwartz. I mean, world-class speed. I'm supposed to be I will probably have him on the show on Locked On Auburn next week. So we'll ask him kind of what NFL teams are saying to him. But he's a guy that really developed his game. He got better inside the field. He got better, really running routes, not just running straight. And I think that's something that NFL teams are really, really going to like. He's probably going to be a day three guy, just – somebody could take a flyer on him and say, hey, we'll take the fastest guy in the NFL draft. Absolutely. And then K.J. Britt, obviously, a leader. I'm still concerned about his ability in coverage. He had a great week in Mobile. A lot of people, a lot of scouts, a lot of draft analysts wrote several articles and reports about how K.J. Britt in Mobile for the Senior Bowl was one of the best linebackers in coverage all week. And so that's great news. He needs to keep that up and convey that and sell that to NFL teams. But K.J. Britt, you guys know this, he's going to get in meetings with NFL teams, and they're going to fall in love with him. They're going to absolutely love him, much like they did with Deshaun Davis and why the Bengals took him. So I think you're going to see a similar path with K.J. I think he's a day three guy as well. But, I think all of those guys have a great chance of getting drafted.
One more thing, Zach. Great stuff on the Auburn players, and it remains to be seen as the draft gets closer, you know, what the future holds, not only for those four, but for maybe other Auburn players in the draft who could be selected despite not being invited to the combine. Well, one really interesting thing about this year's NFL draft is that it looks like it could be as quarterback heavy at the top as any draft in recent memory. I mean, I've seen mocks that have four quarterbacks as for the first five picks. Maybe even some places, depending on trades and such, you could see quarterbacks going one through four with Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance from North Dakota State. Do you feel really strongly, and let's excuse Lawrence for a second, unless you have, you know, really, really strong opinions one way or the other about the pro prospect Trevor Lawrence is going to be. Do you feel really strongly about any of the other three guys and what they could be in the NFL?
I really like Justin Fields, and it's weird to me how many people are trying to talk themselves out of Justin Fields and how many people are saying that Zach Wilson's a better quarterback than Justin Fields. Like, where has this been for the last several years? Like, what is going on? And then, I mean, I don't see the Trey Lance stuff. I really don't. But he's tall. He's big. He moves well. He's got a strong arm. So, you know, people are gonna
Maybe you missed his one game this fall, Zach. Maybe that's why you don't really see it. I mean, there's also that with evaluating Trey Lance. Not that he could end up being great, but it's. I mean, I understand that it is difficult to really have much of an opinion about. I mean, it in general with quarterbacks, but especially that guy.
Yeah, you know, and for every for every Josh Allen, there's 10 Blaine Gabberts. You know what I mean? And I think he falls into that. Do you want to take a lottery pick and, you know, go with that big, you know, physical stud, but can he get it between the years kind of guy? And I don't think it's worth it for where you're going to have to draft Trey Lance. And hey, you're getting more and more reports coming out that NFL GMs like Mac Jones more than Trey Lance. I mean, you're talking about a possibility of having five quarterbacks go in the top 10 picks.
I think it's legitimate.
Chris Sims, I think, said today, either Chris or Phil, I don't want to get it wrong, one of the Sims boys said said that he likes Mond and Mac Jones more than Justin Fields.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, that which you know, just sort of floored me as someone who watched Kellen Mond for his entire college career, that, you know, someone would have that opinion. But, you know, there's a lot of name quarterbacks on the board this fall, you know, even beyond the assumed top three or top four. One more thing, Zach. How does the Deshaun Watson thing shake out? What do you think is going to happen?
I think he stays with the Texans. It's just, there's just so much involved in moving a guy like that, with as far as the cap hit. And then if I'm Deshaun, it's like the place you're going is going to be just totally sucked dry, because they're not going to be able to build for the future, and they're going to lose all of their top assets that you'd be playing with. And your cap hit that you're going to give your new team, it's going to be tough to build free agents. It's like, if I'm Houston, I almost roll the dice and play chicken with the guy. And it's like, okay, you could sit out. But I don't see – no one wins if that trade goes through, especially you're talking about the one with the Panthers. That one seems to have the most legs to it currently, with, you know, multiple first-round picks, multiple second-round picks. Oh, yeah, and you got to give up Christian McCaffrey. And it's like, if you're the Texans, why would you do that? You're going to take a massive cap hit with Deshaun, and then you're going to have to pay Christian McCaffrey. And it's like, you're not going to be able to re-sign any of the players that you've drafted in the last several years. So it's a very weird situation. But the Texans aren't a very good organization, and they make a lot of salary cap mistakes often. So it's weird. You know. And I also said that the Eagles wouldn't be able to move Carson Wentz, and they actually got a really big deal out of him. So I don't know. People are just so desperate for a quarterback, they'll do anything for it. And that's why I think you could see five quarterbacks be taken in the top 10.
We've never seen a situation, you know, where a quarterback Deshaun Watson's age, you know, sort of forces his way out of an organization and makes them get rid of him. I mean, with the Broncos and Jay Cutler, it had already kind of soured, and Carson Palmer was considerably older than Deshaun Watson when he made Cincinnati get rid of him. This is the sort of thing where if Deshaun Watson can make Houston trade him somewhere, it could change the NFL. Like it really could. You know, it could prove that star quarterbacks have power that right now it's only sort of assumed that maybe they have. If someone like Deshaun Watson can force his way out of the Houston Texans organization, and I'm fascinated to see how this ends up going down.
Well, look at Seattle. I mean, Russell Wilson, the story's not even over with Deshaun Watson, and Russell Wilson's like, yeah, I'm upset too. And so, you know, and folks are calling the Seahawks. And, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, through his agent, is like, okay, he doesn't want to get traded, but
here's some teams.
He'd like to go to Dallas or Chicago.
It's unbelievable. So, Zach, as always, loved talking to you. Great stuff. And we'll do this again soon.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Zach. Great stuff from Zach, and you can check out the Locked On Auburn podcast. What you got?
I was going to say you can catch Auburn
in the morning.
You can catch them on Auburn Opelika this morning on News Talk 98.7, 1400 AM. You can catch after the game on Saturdays here on ESPN 106.7. And the
that
Locked
should
On
be in the 2 o'clock hour
thereabouts. And you can also catch the Locked On Auburn podcast wherever you get podcasts.
We need to get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join us. Anything on your mind, sports-wise, 334-321-1390. Right back here on the Wednesday Drive.
Follow the Auburn High Tigers
on 96.3 W. Lee. Auburn High.
Here in the WOW Business Studio. Again, a reminder, this hour of the drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. All right, we talked a little earlier about the Auburn-Alabama basketball game last night, which gave Alabama, for the first time in 43 years, a clean sweep of football, men's, and women's basketball. It had been 1977-78 since Alabama had swept Auburn in all those sports. Auburn has swept Alabama. In that 43-year period, you know how many times Auburn has swept Alabama?
Ooh. Has it happened?
It happened one time.
Okay, all right.
2006-07.
Is that right?
Yes.
I was a student when that happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the last time.
You're
welcome,
folks.
Both schools have come close in the 2013-14 season. A win by Alabama in Tuscaloosa in basketball on the men's side kept Auburn from sweeping. And the following season, a win by Auburn basketball at Beard Eaves. Was that 2014? No, that was at the arena.
That would have been Auburn Arena.
Kept Alabama from sweeping. So each school has come close, but it's the first sweep by either since 2006-07, the first for Alabama in 43 years.
During football season this past year, it was the 10-year anniversary of the opening of Auburn Arena, and I think we just powered through and may not have acknowledged it at the time just because a lot of other stuff was going on, because I think it's November 2010.
Uh-huh.
I think was the opening. So it's it's been just over
time flies.
Just over 10 years in Auburn Arena now, and not the season I think people were hoping for coming into this year, but the acknowledgement that you had a lot of new players playing new roles, and Auburn's had to deal with some considerable injuries too that weakened the prevented the backcourt from being what Auburn was hoping for game in and game out. What are you looking for in the final game of the season? Like, is there an individual or something from the team offensively or defensively that you'd like to see them do well as they end the season on Saturday?
Zach said something that a little while ago that I have wondered the same thing, and Bruce Pearl said it after the game last night. Maybe it's just the inability to get the ball to him, but Jalen Williams needs to touch the ball more. As I was watching the game last night, now, you did see a couple of turnovers when they tried to get it into Jalen, and it's just different when you don't have a true point guard who can get the ball at the right angle or at the right time to the players on the court. But I've always thought, Jalen, I also think is a very good passer for a big guy. And I've always been a little intrigued of why not run him a little at the point forward type thing. Let him be there at the top because he can shoot from there. He's a pretty decent passer. So I'd sort of like to see him have the ball in his hands a little bit more. I mean, there's so many things that I expect to see big improvements from this year to next year from certain players.
Earlier in the was it after the game Saturday when Bruce talked about wanting to see Jalen Williams, really force the issue of being a mismatch.
But
more
it's
often
tough when he doesn't have
that's
the ball.
True. You're absolutely right. But I think there's going to be a focus on looking at his looking at the conference season he's had, and
What are his numbers?
Overall, he's averaging 10.7 points, about 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and he's making 52% of his shots.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty good numbers. But he doesn't take, like Zach said, he doesn't take a ton of shots.
Yeah, 10 conference games, 11, 12, 12 conference games this year where he's attempted 9 or fewer shots in the game. Yeah. And just too often where it's like, he made 2 shots, or I mean, there's 3 games this month where he finished with 2 made field goals. He had the Missouri game last month with 0. He finished 1 of 5 in an Arkansas game last month. There's some inconsistency there that they're gonna really hope he grows out of.
I think he also needs to be somebody who moves better without the ball to be able to create spaces. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in on the final half hour of the Wednesday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at espnau.com.
we're educating Drew on old TV shows. Where'd that come from? Where were you talking about Mutual of Omaha?
Oh, because my backyard's a mess. Oh. Because it's the wild.
It's the wild kingdom.
It's the wild kingdom back
okay,
there.
Okay, yeah, and that was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And what was that? Oh, golly, I can't. Now, I should know. I can't.
The music? What are you thinking of?
I'm trying to think of the host who always would send his young guy out to be mauled by the lions. Yeah, but anyway, it's the final 25 minutes of the Wednesday edition of The Drive.
Marty? Was that Marty Stouffer?
No.
Okay.
No. When you say the name, I will know it. If you give me his first name, and I'll. Golly, I can't believe I can't think of that. Anyway, 25 minutes to go here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Auburn women falling to Florida in a crazy game, the first day of the SEC women's tournament. And you have to wonder, will it be the final game for Coach Flo? 0-16 in the Southeastern Conference, 5-19 overall.
The Jim Fowler?
Jim was the guy that would get set out.
Okay, so Marlon Perkins.
Marlon Perkins. Absolutely, okay. It was. Marlon was the longtime host. Jim Fowler was the younger was the younger man who was always sent out, and he dealt with those wild animals.
Marty was the Wild America guy. Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom was that's you know what, that's probably online somewhere, right? I imagine.
I'm sure it is.
I imagine
very informative.
Oh, sure, the original
And I always wondered if Jim was going to get, you know, mauled by an animal.
You're always waiting to see if this was the episode where, like,
because I mean, there were some not just near misses. There was blood at times in that show. Actually, you could watch it and think there will be blood. Could be blood.
See, the series finale of that show. You know, you're tuning in knowing it's gonna, you know, his luck's finally gonna run out.
Yeah. So anyway, what was I saying? Speaking of luck running out, well, Auburn's had no luck at all this year in basketball, in women's basketball.
Did you watch any of the other SEC basketball games last night?
A little of the Kentucky Ole Miss game.
Kentucky, it's less acute than Auburn, but with Kentucky, I mean,
hey, they're 8-15.
And what's amazing about that? It's amazing enough that Kentucky is 8-15 because it's Kentucky.
Yes,
and they don't have seasons like this there. But there are guys. I think there are guys you would want on. I think there are players you would want on the Kentucky Wildcats. Like
you're right.
I mean, between Saar and Boston. And Obi Toppin's brother can make shots, and it was mentioned during the broadcast last night. Isaiah Jackson might be, I mean, he might be the top pro prospect. He might be the first SEC player taken in the draft. I mean, and it could be from an 8-15 Kentucky team. Isaiah Jackson might. I mean, so there is, you know, I think it is important not to overreact to this Kentucky season, because the possibility is there that they can, you know, that they can rubber band back to Kentucky quickly.
Oh yeah, maybe.
But it's incredible what you're seeing right now. With, I mean, they're losing. Well, they went 40 years without losing Ole Miss.
That's right.
Lost to them last night.
That was the 14th or 15th time in 110 meetings that Ole Miss had ever.
It's a one sided rivalry between Kentucky and Ole Miss in basketball.
Kentucky has one sided. And I don't call them rivalries, one-sided records against an awful lot of teams. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through the Kia of Auburn hotline. And to the phone we go, and Steve's up first. Hey, Steve.
Bill, it's Marlon Perkins that used to say,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to strap some bacon on Jim and send him down there with the lions while I'm up here in the helicopter safely filming this event.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember as a kid thinking, God, that guy Jim's got a terrible job. I mean, he's going to get killed one of these days.
Yeah, I did not want his job. I never wanted his job. I wanted Marlon's job. No, you're absolutely right.
Marlon was in the tower when the wildebeest were chasing him, or, you know, he was on the boat while Jim was wrestling the crocodiles. That was always the joke of Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Y'all were talking about Jalen Williams, and I I don't know if y'all remember last year. I was the one, you know, screaming every week that he needed to play more. I think he's going to be forced this summer, especially if things are normal, to either step up or realize he's not going to play a whole lot next year. I mean, he's got all the talent. I think personality-wise, he's a nice kid. I don't know him, but he needs a little bit of a mean streak in him. And if he doesn't get a mean streak, he's not going to see the floor next year. If everybody comes back, which I'm going to root for everybody to come back, I mean, you got Trey Alexander, you got Jabari Smith,
mm-hmm.
you got Dylan Cordwell, who's improving.
JT.
You know, Flanagan, who's JT, Thor. I mean, there's a lot of spots that are there, and if you're going to go out there and have 7-8 minute stretches where you disappear, you're not going to play.
That's a good point. Absolutely, I mean, it is. And that's sort of what happens to him. It's like you forget that he's out there.
Right, and then he makes a really good defensive play or makes a really good pass.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me a lot of a guy. You know, he can affect the game without the ball, but you want him to affect the game with the ball. You know, he makes the pick or he gets a rebound, and he's just so talented. But, you know, if JT comes back, if Thor comes back, and, you know, you get JP back, I mean, there's a lot of really talented guys. And you know, JP can probably play some forward, too, if you want to go small. And think about that lineup of Alexander. I'm going to say that, you know, Sharif comes back. You throw Jabari Smith out there. I mean, you got four guys that can shoot the rock and a guy who can protect the goal.
Yeah, you play Jabari or JT at the five or whatever, stretch
right.
five. And the other one, yeah, you'd have five guys that could really hurt you. Yeah, no kidding.
And there's no place for being tentative and just sort of not really wanting to be involved in that group. So I hope that this will be the light turns on year for him because I'm a real fan. I think he's an outstanding basketball player, and by all accounts, he's a good mm-hmm. kid. And you know, I just hope it clicks on. I hope there's the beautiful thing that's going to happen in Auburn this summer that hasn't happened in a while. It's just happened with Bruce, but there's always been competition. But now you got competition with talent,
right?
And where Gus had talent, but not a lot of competition. Now you're going to have maybe it's not as much talent as you want, but I think there'll be a lot more competition. And that will it accelerate the education of these kids, and I think it's just going to make us better off and all. I mean, iron sharpens iron, and knowing there's somebody behind you that wants to take your position and, oh, by the way, is capable of taking your position will motivate you a lot.
That's a great point, not just wanting to, but being able to, right?
Absolutely. So hopefully it'll be a light turn-on year for a lot of guys on the basketball team, and we'll forget this year when we're playing late to March. Yeah.
Hey, great call, Steve. Thanks. Yep, those memories. So I would encourage our younger listeners to see if you can find a little.
I think you can find it on YouTube.
Wild Kingdom.
I think you can find them on YouTube. Animal Planet's probably got the rights to some of that stuff too, so you can dig it up. But Jalen Williams is, and he's not the player that we've talked about the most, or even I mean he might not be in the top three when
no.
it comes to the basketball team this year of the players we've talked about the most, but he is. I mean, yeah,
he is a talented basketball player.
Right. And when you look at, you know, the possible roles for players coming back from this year's team, Jalen Williams does seem to have, and to a lesser extent, JT Thor, seems like there's a wide spectrum of how these guys could be used or, you know, how much they could be used depending on, you know, where they shake out in the rotation. You know, a lot of people are interested to see what Thor looks like. 9 months from now, a year from now, considering how rapid
Thor,
his improvement has been.
JT Thor, Dylan Cordwell, I think can make big steps.
What do you think Chris Moore is? What?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just reminds me of a throwback kind of guy that
like an undersized four.
That's going to get out there, and if he gets the minutes, can give you 10 and 5 just about every time out and play good defense.
And we've seen Bruce have guys like that, right?
Yep.
Like, I mean, you say it's a throwback, but even in recent years,
he's a 6'6" guy that almost can play a power forward at 6'6".
Right. We've seen Bruce take advantage of having an undersized power forward who can play at his pace, and provide provide a boost, I wonder if Chris Moore is in years to come going to be called upon to do something like that.
334-321-1390, the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Slack is up next. Hey, Slack.
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
I'm listening to you talking about some names on the basketball team. I guess it's a good thing for Coach Pearl to have. He's going to have a lot of talent coming back next year, but I guess my question is, those names you were naming, Williams, I don't think would be in that conversation. But it's probably two or three more guys on that team that, I hate to say it, probably need to move on and go somewhere else.
Why is that? You think chemistry?
They're out of position type of guys. That last name that you just mentioned, we don't, you know, he's playing out of position and really undersized, you know.
Right, and that's the danger of having, you know, 12 or 13 scholarship players, right? You know, unless you want to have a 12 or 13 man rotation,
that's,
you know,
hard to do.
You could have guys who are projects. You could have guys who aren't playing as much as they could play somewhere else, or you might have to, you know, you might have to try to make guys more flexible than they really are in order to get them on the court. I know what you mean, Slack.
Yeah. Scooter. Do you think we get his commitment?
You know, I'd like to think so, but I don't know. I mean, I tell you what, the inability for there to be in person contact, I don't think that helps Auburn right now. But I mean, Auburn, everything that I hear, Auburn's in good shape. But I sure would have liked for him to be hanging around a little more.
No, I'm talking about Scooter, the point guard for the 2022 class.
Yeah. No, I am too. I mean, I think Auburn's got a good chance of getting it. I wish you could spend more in-person time with recruits.
Okay. And I think he's a reclassified guy too if he commits.
There's been talk about that. I hadn't heard anything on it lately though, Slack, and that would be great if you could get him and have him next year.
How many guys do we have on scholarship right now? 10?
No. They've got 11, and then they've got the two signees for next year. So right now they're at the full allotment of 13. So if they add another player, they got to make room.
All right. That's my point I was making. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate it, Slack. Let's get to our final break of the afternoon. Right back with more of your phone calls.
They could have room to add if there were departures to the draft.
That's what I mean. Yeah. There'd have to be room.
Yeah.
Somebody that's currently on scholarship would not be back.
Right. And if everyone, we've talked a lot about, oh, it'd be great to go out and bring in another point guard, you know, to add depth, even if Sharif returns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you bring back the 11 you've got on scholarship right now plus the two signees, I mean, the expectations will be very high for next year's team, despite the fact that you didn't go out and further address the depth chart at point guard. But it's a question of whether or not all 11 of those players and Sharif Cooper, chief among them, whether or not they want to come back at all.
We'll get to that final break of the afternoon. Back with more of your phone calls. Again, you can get in 334-321-1390. Who do we have holding?
John,
hang on. You'll be up first when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
Heard the good news about COVID-19 vaccine?
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here on this Wednesday. Bill and Dan, Drew once again at the controls, and back to the Kia of Auburn hotline we go. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Really enjoy the show. I got caught with COVID, so I was spending a lot of time recovering, and I've been listening to you guys. I really appreciate your show.
Well, man, hey, real quick, good to hear you doing
that. Yeah, best wishes. Great to hear from you.
I appreciate that. I'm very blessed. So I'm ready to move on with life, and I'm excited about the future. And I'll be quick, but one thought, I don't think she'll ever get the credit she deserves as a player because the team was just beyond terrible, in my opinion. But Unique Thompson deserves a lot of credit. She's a tremendous player, and I wish her absolutely nothing but the best.
No doubt about that. I mean, Auburn's all-time leading rebounder, just a double-double machine, and she's done it. You know, a lot of the time without a ton of help,
and chose to come back last year after you know, in a situation where Unique probably knew
pretty
that
much
this
the rest of the team was gone.
Right. The rest of the team was gone. I think she came back knowing it was going to be a struggle in conference play this year. She could have elected to go play somewhere where she had a more real chance at a conference championship or a national championship, and she decided to stay and finish her 4 years at Auburn. I think it says a lot about her and her character.
It does, and I think if she played on a bigger name program like a South Carolina or UConn, she would be getting All-American type honors.
I agree.
And I think she's probably well-liked within the athletic department from all I hear, Coach Flo, but I just don't see how you cannot somehow make a change. That's just to go in the conference.
The most difficult thing is to let, you know, to make changes when you have good people, well-liked people, but, you know, results, you know, have to have to be the decision maker.
And actually, speaking of how unique is viewed, not just within the Auburn athletic department, but around the league, Dawn Staley, the coach of South Carolina, sent out something on Twitter after the Auburn game went final, congratulating Unique Thompson on her incredible Auburn career, and commending her for what she brought to the league, and mentioning that she expects Unique to have a run in the WNBA. So yeah, I mean it's a sign that. You know, it's not just around Auburn that Unique is seen as a really special player.
Excellent. And one final thought I had not seen is, and you guys can share, and I'll let you go. But is any of baseball on TV this weekend? It looks like a great series against
about that.
Yeah, I saw our buddy Brian Matthews posting something that there's no TV and they'll only be streaming on Sunday because they already had gymnastics and softball set for streaming. Apparently Auburn, the way Auburn's facilities right now, they're only capable of streaming two events concurrently, and they were already doing softball and gymnastics Friday, and it takes both of the control rooms or control centers to handle basketball, so it's going to be radio only Friday and Saturday, and then you can watch it streamed, but no TV, I don't believe, for any of the three games. Because, you know, this was going to be Auburn and Xavier in a four-game series, and that wouldn't have been that enticing for television. Auburn-Baylor, on the other hand, a top 25 matchup, much, much more interesting. Appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390, and that's a shame. That is a shame. We, you know, unless you're able to get tickets, and you know, unless the state of Alabama's opened up 100%, they decide to sell all the tickets, then probably not going to be able to see it.
Which may, you know, by the end of baseball season, that I suppose that could be in the that could be in the cards.
The Mississippi schools are expected to make an announcement as to what their plans will be for outdoor sporting events here very soon, since the governor there has said they're open up 100%.
So getting back to the Auburn games this weekend, so there is no television for Friday and Saturday, and it'll be on the SEC Network Sunday?
SEC Plus
on Sunday?
Right.
Okay, so that's unfortunate. You know, it's a series that I know a lot of folks would like to watch, but I guess that's sort of a trade-off when something like this develops at the last minute.
Oh, yeah. Kudos to Auburn for and Boston College for working it out to be able to play this weekend.
And luckily, I will say that that baseball is great on the radio, and Auburn.
It is the game the sport that is made for radio.
And I think Auburn's crew does they do a great job. I mean, Andy Burcham and company. And I know it's not. I mean, I always think of Andy Burcham first and foremost now because I know how much he loves baseball.
Right.
But yeah, I mean they do such a great job broadcasting the games that won't be too much of a loss that you only get to hear it on Friday and Saturday.
We're about out of time here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Our thanks to Zach Blackerby for joining us.
When are we going to talk with Justin? Not Justin. We're going to talk with Justin tomorrow.
We got Justin Ferguson tomorrow at 4:30. Hopefully we can get Jason in the second half of the show tomorrow. But right now he and his better half are celebrating their anniversary.
Happy anniversary to the Caldwells.
And we thank all of our callers as well and listeners. But we're out of time here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. We're back with you at 4 tomorrow. Join us then. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.